It's very clear. I mean, he's a dumb guy.
Like, does he hate Trump? It, like, is the feeling neutral?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And Trump was president. He wanted to stimulate the economy.
Right.
But he wouldn't do it. And he started raising interest rates, doing the opposite that Trump wanted.
So, I mean, so the feeling is this, that, like, we don't want Trump to be in government.
Right.
Aurel Hismo, principal economist for the Federal Reserve, says Jerome Powell wants to go down in history as someone who, quote, held the line against Donald Trump, unquote.
He's doing it for the legacy. He wants to be remembered in history as somebody who held the line against, like Trump and like somebody who like helped the economy.
So he wants to preserve his legacy as someone, even though he's Republican on paper, Democrats don't love him.
Yeah, because he's responsive. Under Powell, the Fed has changed to think about equity issues, like racial issues, think about wealth inequality as part of the mandate, as part of the things we're following. Think about climate change.
Aurel Hismo says, quote, people think conservatives are dumb and that the, quote, Federal Reserve would discriminate against those conservatives depending on how out there they are.
People think they're dumb.
Would they be, like, discriminated against?
I mean, it depends on, like, how, like, out there they are.
We're gonna play. That's James O'Keefe. Another one of these hidden videos. Amazing. Dave Brat joins me. We're gonna put the entire thing up. I think it goes for like 8 or 9 minutes. Three things I want to hit, Brat. I know you got a bounce. You got VIPs. Brat is such an important person. He's got VIPs in an anteroom waiting to come into the throne and do homage or kowtow. Dave. First off, hit right there, pal, the principal economist, one of the principal economists in the real estate group over at the Fed, caught on tape, your thoughts about he held the line against Trump.
Yeah, well, it's the performance of the Fed. They've ruined our economy for the past two decades. Sparks just nailed it. Sparks, they've made our world so complex. They've made it ununderstandable. So they're in charge. They want to stay in charge. Everybody this morning, right, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee to Jake Tapper called us stupid. Now the feds are calling us stupid. They're putting down half the country. We've known what the Fed's doing, right? They're experimenting with multicolor flags and stuff. The guy right there, the chief economist, said this is part of their mandate. No, it's not. Their mandate is price stability and then unemployment secondary. So the Fed has totally failed us. It needs to be totally reformed. They're printing money left and right. There's staggering new evidence coming out tonight. We'll hit it at 5. But Larry Summers has a new paper out last month, and I'll just tease it right here. The inflation rate, once you include the full cost of housing and car and the interest expense at the new interest rates at the highs, was not 9 or 10%. It was 18%. And so we're not just making up numbers here. These are Democrat guys who served in the Treasury under Obama. That's the evidence I'm using. I'm going to lay that out tonight at 5 with a full story. And that's the new real inflation. And Larry's got a paper out with three other, very significant economists. Okay. And so we'll lay that out, what it means to your lives. And
By the way, that's both Clinton's administration and Obama's. You're going to lay out the math today. Yes. It's very important. His point about holding the line, The book, Finish What We Started, shows that McCarthy's removed by a grassroots movement, not donor class. He's protecting them. A grassroots movement over the debt deal, over the very deal that is so totally irresponsible. You've got these grassroots people sitting there going, no, if you vote for this type of spending and the unlimited deficits for these couple of years, you're out. And that's what eventually drove him out of office. That's the working class and middle class saying, hey, we understand what you're doing is going to destroy us, right? Yep. So that shows you the Trump movement is actually holding the line for price stability. Dave Brat.
Yeah, no, that's right. The American people fully understand the debt situation. They can't live like that. Why do our elites get to? They fully understand inflation, which is cumulative, right? 10, 5, and 5. They've lost 20% of their purchasing power over the last 4 years alone. And they fully understand FISA and all of our betters and elitists on MSNBC and all these liberal talk shows. I thought you believed in democracy, but no, we can't understand the war in Ukraine, which has already been lost. I think you're very wrong. Go consult Mearsheimer. The Intelligence Committee is lacking in intelligence. Please bring Mearsheimer in, and he might straighten things up for you quite a bit.
It's pretty insulting. You were in the House. It's pretty insulting to have Mike Turner say that the opposition to what they're trying to push on both FISA and on Ukraine is because the deep state says, oh, we're suckers, we're rubes for Russian KGB intelligence. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, Chairman Turner of the Intelligence Committee, my friend Thomas Massey is taking it to him, and people may not know there's a carve-out for congressmen, shocker, on the FISA warrant, right? So the American people get no respect. They can be spied on. But the president of the United States can be spied on, apparently, in the Trump case. But the one sector that cannot get spied on without getting a warrant is the Congress. And so for Turner to turn, that's just a smackdown to the American people. That's talking down. It's in the bill. I'd love to hear some commentary from him. Go watch Massey out on Twitter. He's doing a good job on this thing. He and Rand Paul have been leading the day on this for decades. And they deserve some praise because they're protecting your rights. As the former congresswoman said, in the old days, they will find a crime on you. If they want to find a crime on you, they will find one or they will make one up. So this is scary times.
You're actually a former congressman. She's still a congressman. But I know you have to go meet VIPs. So, Dave Brat, back at 5 o'clock tonight, you're going to walk through the math. Pretty shocking. About our current financial situation. Where do people go to get you on social media in the interim, sir?
Yeah, Brat Economics. And I'll post some of the Summers articles today before the 5 o'clock if people want to take a peek. They do need to study this stuff. It matters. Yeah. And we will turn the country around because of our understanding.
Fantastic. Dave, we'll see you back here at 5. And Grace and Mo will help. As soon as it gets up, we'll put it out into the – thank you, sir. Into all the chat rooms and make sure that people are force multipliers. On next Thursday, I talked about the book, Finish What We Started. Obviously, we got much, much more to talk about. It's going to be another training session. We're trying to work this through about the Gladiator Schools. The Ahern Hotel on the 18th of April in Las Vegas. It's free, and we throw in a free lunch. How about that? We're going to have our top people. We'll be releasing the agenda, who's going to speak, probably on Monday. We are running out of space, so I want everybody to make sure they get today. It's a one-day event, and we got some other special stuff we're going to announce also, so make sure you get there. We'll be doing the show. Thanks to Real America's Voice, we'll be doing the show live there, so you get to participate in that. You get to participate in the training session, which is going to be another extraordinary training session. And we're probably – last time we hit so many topics so quickly – right, all day. This time we're going to be more concentrated. We're going to pick a couple of areas we can go down deep. So I think we're pretty confident you guys are going to love it. So we'll check all this out. Also, this Saturday, we're doing a special. We've worked together kind of as a preamble to President Trump, the trial that looks like it's going to start next week, unless any President Trump's motions are picked up in the next couple of days. So we're going to do coup d'etat. And I've got we're going to do Kennedy, Nixon, and President Trump. Mike Davis is going to help me with President Trump. Jerome Corsi is going to be there talking about his new book, Final Analysis, about the Kennedy assassination, but really about the coup aspect of it. Richard Nixon is going to be very different. There's a bunch of famous books out there about coup d'etat and things about Nixon, about CIA. This is taking a very different look at Jeff Shepard's an expert. He was actually in the White House at the time. He's become the resident expert. We're going to talk about the federal judiciary, the Department of Justice, and the congressional staffs of how they worked in unison against, by the way, the rule of law to drive Nixon from the White House. You're going to find that quite fascinating because I think it foreshadows a lot of what's going on here with President Trump. And you'll be pretty shocked about what happened. And this is all documented empirical evidence from Jeff Shepard, who's written a couple of books about this over the last 30 or 40 years. They're pretty extraordinary, very extraordinary individual. And then Mike Davis will be here. We're going to announce our special coverage starting next week, Monday. Warren will be there. Real America's Voice will be there. We've got a couple of special correspondents we will announce tomorrow to give you just cutting-edge coverage. If it does start on Monday, and like I said, right now it looks like it'll be an extraordinary event that is going to have a major impact on this on the election, and we think it could have a positive impact on the election if it is handled properly. Let's go now to Israel. Joel, I take, are you in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv? Where are you, sir?
Hey, Steve, I'm in Jerusalem right now, and I just got back from the border with Gaza a short while ago. I spent the morning down there, different communities around the periphery of what they call the Gaza envelope. Essentially, the Israeli communities right around the Gaza Strip. These are the communities that were hardest hit on October 7th. And we got a pretty good look at what is left of Gaza from some of these communities. You know, I've been to one of these communities three times now, once in November, once in February, and now once in April. And even now, you can hear the artillery being fired. You hear the drones overhead. This is an active war zone. Today, the Israel Defense Forces announced that they had carried out targeted raids on Hamas cells in central and northern Gaza. They haven't yet gone into southern Gaza, into Rafah, which we discussed last week, but they are continuing to operate in Gaza. So as you're walking around these communities, you hear the booms of the artillery cannons firing. You see and hear the drones overhead. It's still a war zone, but these communities are starting slowly, slowly to rebuild.
Joel is a senior editor-at-large at Breitbart News. He's live with us today in Jerusalem. Okay, you got to help me out here because I'm confused. When we talked the other day, you did a very good explanation of some of the special forces activity, particularly around the hospital and how Israeli special forces. And at the time, there was a tactical retreat from Gaza, at least it was talking about. IDF senior officials, senior military officials were talking about focusing more on special operators to take care of, I guess, of the worst of at least what they said, four battalions of Hamas fighters in southern Gaza and another two in Judea Samaria. Then afterwards, Bibi came out and said, no, we're going back. We're going to go in. And it's going to be full. I'm going to give you a date. Just get us up. I want to keep you through the break. We had a couple minutes here. What in the hell is going on? Can you just explain to us, are they going to tactically retreat the infantry? Is the IDF going to stay there? Are they going to finish the job? Is it going to be special forces? Because we have a prejudice here in the war room. Nothing beats infantry, right? So where are we right now in the Gaza war?
So as of last week, Israel pulled its ground forces out of southern Gaza, where they had been around the city of Khan Yunis and the city of Rafah. Rafah is the last stronghold of Hamas. They have the last four battalions there, as you mentioned, and Israel wants to go in there and finish them off. And the Biden administration is saying no. So Israel pulled its ground forces out of that portion of Gaza, the southern portion, but they held a corridor in the center. And what they told the Israeli public and the world was, this is a tactical withdrawal. We're still working out the details of this larger operation in Rafah, which is going to be an infantry operation. And they're debating that. They're arguing about that with the Biden administration. Meanwhile, they're still carrying out these special operations in the center and in the north. They're carrying out airstrikes. Yesterday, Tuesday, an airstrike took out three sons of Ismail Haniyeh. He is the political leader of Hamas. He's worth $4 billion. He lives in Doha, Qatar, and he shuttles to Turkey and to Moscow and all kinds of other places. He is a multi-billionaire. His sons were apparently part of the Hamas military operation in Gaza, and they were taken out in an airstrike yesterday. So Israel continues to conduct these limited targeted strikes in various parts of the Gaza Strip while they prepare for what they say would be the final assault on the remaining four Hamas battalions in Rafah.
Joel, hang with us. I want to get into more detail of that. I also want to drill down. You had a statement the other day that went viral on the show when you said, hey, the Palestinians are not, there's no two-state solution. What they want to do is tear down the state of Israel. There's no plan to build anything back. So I want to drill down on all that with you. Joel Pollack, senior editor at large at Breitbart News, joins us live from Jerusalem. We're going to take a short commercial break. I guess today you can see on everything we talked about the turbulence in the House that you fought so hard to remove McCarthy and to make sure that we had more MAGA leadership. Right now, looks like Pfizer, they're going to try to jam something on that, not to your liking, tomorrow. and maybe even Ukraine early next week. We'll be covering it all. Short commercial break. Back with Joel. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Speaker Johnson is also going to be in Mar-a-Lago tomorrow, talk election integrity. We'll be covering that also at this election integrity conferences or gathering down with President Trump to make sure you're on top of things. Look, everything we're talking about today doesn't actually sit there. You know, the one part of stability is you. That's where the book, Finish What We Started, if you see it, particularly where you've come from, what you fought for, and the results, it's pretty amazing. It's far from perfect, as we can admit, particularly when we see what could happen with FISA in the next couple of days and what's happening with the Ukraine situation. But make sure you go to birchgold.com for 8,000 years of man's history. Gold's been a hedge. Philip Patrick's going to join me on Saturday on the coup d'etat special. He'll finish. We're going to walk through different aspects of the macroeconomics around gold. Make sure you go to birchgold.com/Ben to get all of the information. We're also coming out, and I will launch, I think, in the next 24 hours, the fifth installment, free installment of End of the Dollar Empire. This will be about the central bank digital currency from the Federal Reserve, and we'll compare and contrast the central banks of the BRICS nations, the Global South, and they've been buying gold at record rates now, 22, 23, and now in 24. January starting off at another big rise. Gold at, what, 2360 this morning or something, every couple of days gets a new... sets a new base for a high. Warpath Coffee, the Navy SEALs over Tej Gill and the team. I love the dark roast. You guys know that. But all the mild and breakfast roasts and all that are fantastic too. But go to Warpath Coffee, warpath.coffee/Rome. You got to get the discount, 15% discount. And you can get my beloved Mariner's Blend, the dark roast. The War Room Posse, the overwhelming response to Sacred Human Health.com over there, the grass-fed beef liver. Go there right now and just check out what your compadres are saying, your compatriots, about this energy boost. But the greatest concentration of nutrients known to man is in beef liver. This is grass-fed, perfect beef liver. So go check it out. Check it out today and see what the folks are saying. We want to hear from you as you take it and test it. I have a clip now. Let me play this clip. This is what Joel was talking about a moment ago. I think it's quite instructive. Let's play this clip. Joel, you're very cynical. You believe that was probably staged. But tell, who's that individual? And the information he's hearing is what? And explain, I want to put this in context because this is an important part of this war.
That individual is a man named Ismail Haniyeh. He is the political leader of the Hamas terrorist organization. And in that video, you are seeing him being informed of the deaths of three of his sons in an Israeli airstrike. I believe the video was staged. They wouldn't simply shoot a reaction video of their political leader not knowing what he might say or do. But of course, you see him respond very calmly, saying that this is a great sacrifice for the cause, for Allah, for all of that. And in a way, even though the video shows and proves, confirms that Israel did get his three sons, which shows Israel can reach these leaders, in a way, I think Hamas is able to use this video and this event to its advantage as well, because this is a guy who lives in luxurious exile in Doha in Qatar. He's worth $4 billion, but now he can say, look, I'm suffering along with the rest of you. I lost members of my own family in the struggle against the great Satan and the little Satan. And that's what they're doing with this. They're using it for maximum propaganda effort. But it definitely is going to be on their minds that Israel can get to them wherever they are. Right now, Israel is offering Hamas leaders kind of amnesty if they do a hostage deal. But early in the war, people forget this now, but early in the war, Israel's defense minister said that any Hamas leader is fair game overseas.
Okay. But hang over a second. I'm confused again. Gaza, you look there, and that's not exactly Beverly Hills, right? It looks like a lot of poverty, even before the war started, a lot of poverty. You look at the GDP, you look at every type of living standard of the people in Gaza, the Palestinians, not the best. I want to hit rewind. You're saying the guy's living in Qatar, and he's worth how much money?
Ismail Haniyeh is worth personally about $4 billion, and all of the senior leaders of Hamas are worth massive amounts of money. They control the financial infrastructure of Gaza. They collect the taxes on imports and exports. They make a cut of every shipment of goods that is smuggled through tunnels underneath the Egyptian border. And of course, they also divert the billions in international aid that has flown or has been given to Gaza, and there are all kinds of contractors that they control. Yeah. So they're basically siphoning off aid and making money off the backs of Palestinians and living in five-star hotels.
But hang on a second. Let's go to October 6th. Let's not take this war, the events of the war. The United States essentially underwrites the situation in Gaza, the day-to-day in Gaza. I think the Saudis throw in, I think, an equal amount, a couple of billion dollars a year. How do we have a situation where the American taxpayer is paying for something that we now find out you got guys worth $4 billion that are running the deal and don't live there? They're living in luxury in the Gulf Emirates. At the same time, we now find out tunnels into Israel. There's a, you know, you're talking 21 combat battalions or brigades. We're now down to four and then two in Judea Samaria. How did that all happen in broad daylight? I mean, I think the American people are sitting there going, hey, we know we've got a war now, but this war just didn't come out of nowhere. This is obviously planned, et cetera, but these guys are filthy rich. The people are living in dire poverty, and we're underwriting it. This couldn't have been a secret. How did this happen to evolve like this?
Well, the United States has put pressure on Israel to accept this situation, arguing that you had to give money or at least allow money to flow to Gaza. Otherwise, there would be a humanitarian collapse. And so Israel allowed some of the money to be funneled through Qatar to Gaza for basic government operations, even though Israel knew that a lot of the money was going to be stolen. But President Donald Trump, when he was in office, he actually cut a lot of the funding that went to some of these corrupt organizations. He stopped taxpayer funding of the UN Relief and Works Agency, which was exposed during the war as having ties to terrorism. Several of their employees participated in the October 7th attacks. Trump also cut funding to the Palestinian Authority while it supported or subsidized terrorism. And he was very tough. He said, we're not going to waste U.S. taxpayers' money on this stuff. Biden comes into office, restores the funding to the extent he could legally. He restored the funding that Trump had cut, something like $700 million to the UN Relief and Works Agency and millions of dollars going to other places. They claim they're not funding the Palestinian Authority directly, but they're funding all kinds of other organizations. And that money is making its way, a lot of it, to Hamas. Biden gives them hundreds of millions of dollars. And lo and behold, in May 2021, you have Hamas attacking Israel for the first time in years. They were quiet for the 4 years of Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as president, kept the Middle East quiet because he made it very clear that if anything happened, he was going to let Israel off the chain, that Israel was going to be able to do whatever it needed to do to secure itself. So Iran and its proxies were very careful. And there was no war in Gaza. The closest they got was a bizarre effort by Hamas to infiltrate through the fence on the day or during the week when Donald Trump moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and Israel shot everyone who tried to get in. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called them protesters. They weren't protesters. They were members of Hamas. But Biden comes in, restores the funding, and all hell breaks loose because Israel's enemies and America's enemies sensed a weakness. And they probed that weakness first in the May 2021 war, which was largely an air war, Hamas shooting rockets and Israel retaliating with airstrikes. And then on October 7th, when they sent thousands of Hamas terrorists into Israel, blowing holes through the fence and carrying out atrocities in the Israeli communities in the vicinity. So, look, the money comes from decisions made by U.S. policymakers and by other donor nations, and there's an incredible constituency to keep those taps flowing. The world believes or has been led to believe that the Palestinians are not responsible for themselves. They've received multiple times more per capita than Europe received in the Marshall Plan. And yet, instead of building the economy, building institutions, building anything worthwhile, Hamas has sunk that money into underground tunnels, into weapons from Iran, and of course, into the luxurious lifestyles that their leaders enjoy. They're not just sitting there, by the way, with bank accounts. They're investing in all kinds of things. They have real estate holdings all over the place. And we're not really being tough enough yet with sanctions on the Hamas financial network. But basically, these are the leaders of Hamas who are living the high life in Qatar, Turkey, other places. And for them, terrorism has been very successful. It's been a profitable industry.
Joel, if you can hang on, I know you're busy. If you can hang on, I just want to hold you through the break for a second because I want to make our audience smart of what we should look forward to or be smart in getting up the curve of what's going to happen here over the next couple of days and weeks. Joel Pollack from Jerusalem, senior editor at Breitbart News, joins us. We're going through now this fight, and we're going to keep you up to date on FISA and the warrantless FISA. But be prepared to – they're going to try to run the tables on us. You got some heroes out there that are fighting this. Make sure, home title lock, cyber coupled with artificial intelligence, the greatest threat to your castle, by the way, which you have 90% of your net worth tied up. Don't let the bad guys, state or non-state actors, get to it. Go to hometitlelock.com today. Promo code BAND to get the first month free. But immerse yourself in information. Make sure it's right with you. Use your own common sense. Short break, back in a moment. Criminals have access to more advanced tools than ever. And now they're using them to steal our most valuable asset. That would be your home. In Miami, an elderly woman didn't find out an empty plot of land she owned was stolen until she went to pay taxes. A stranger had already paid them, and property records showed she had sold the land. They had forged her signature and registered a fake deed. How scary is that? That's why you need to get Home Title Lock today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and immerse yourself in this information. Think that it can't happen to you? Well, you are wrong. When's the last time you checked your home's title? All a thief has to do is forge your signature, refile as the new owner. And once your home is not in your name, it can get really ugly, and it can get really ugly fast. They can take out equity loans or even sell your house to an unsuspecting buyer who shows up at your door one day and says, "Hey, this baby is mine." Don't think your home insurance policy will protect you. It won't. Check your home today for free when you get to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code BANNON at signup. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code BANNON at signup. You'll get a free scan of your home's title plus 30 days of protection totally free. That is 30 days of protection totally free. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code BANNON. Do not let these thieves steal your home in broad daylight.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome back, Joel Palos. So, Joel, make the audience smart. Get us what we should be looking at, what we should be reading, what should we be thinking over the next couple of days and weeks to get ahead of this this war in Gaza.
Well, the Biden administration has woken up to the fact that Iran is threatening Israel, and they're sending the chief of CENTCOM to Israel this week. And President Biden, after trashing Israel in the media for a week over Gaza, is now suddenly talking about how he has a quote unquote ironclad commitment to defending Israel when it comes to Iran. People believed that in October. They don't believe it anymore. They don't believe it here in Israel, and we don't believe it in the United States, because he said in October his commitment to Israel's fight against Hamas was unwavering, but it's not so unwavering after all, because he is backing away from that commitment. So Iran is looking at Biden and thinking, this guy's not serious. And so even though Biden says these things, nobody is taking any notice. Nobody views them with any credibility. Hopefully it won't lead Iran to attack Israel. I'm in Israel this week, and Israelis are on high alert, even though they're going about their routine as normal. Israel is going to have to be responsible, I think, for its own security here, and is going to have to assess whether the threat from Iran is real. Yesterday, the foreign minister of Israel, Israel Katz, said that if Iran attacks Israel from Iranian territory, then Israel will attack Iran on Iranian soil, yeah, which hasn't happened before. Iran has gotten away letting everybody else bear the brunt of war in other countries other than Iran. They haven't had to defend their home front. But Israel is now saying very clearly that if Iran dares to attack it, then Israel is going to attack Iran. That would be an escalation. The Biden administration is playing catch up and trying to avoid that by talking tough. But the problem is nobody trusts Joe Biden's talk anymore. They just don't believe that he's serious.
I'll take the over on the Persians getting real on this war. I'll take the over on the Persians, because I think this thing is basically about the Persians versus the Judeo-Christian West. Israel happens to be the tip of the spear. Joel, how do people follow you while you're in Israel? Where do they go? Not just to Breitbart and your writings, but social media.
You can follow me at Joel Pollack on X or Twitter, and I usually post everything I'm doing from there.
Joel, great work. Look forward to having you back on, sir.
Thank you.
I've got Ben Berquam. We have no Ben Berquam. Ben's down in La Jolla. Okay, fine. He's down. But good news is Ben's back on the border. He's down with law enforcement. We'll try to get him this afternoon if we can't get him up. He's, I think, putting a lot. Why is Mayorkas not? Where's the Senate trial? I think it's one of the driving forces. Where's the Senate trial with Mayorkas? Why is this not started? Why are we not putting pressure on it? This thing has got to go. It's going to be a tough vote for Tester, and it's going to be a tough vote for Sherrod Brown. It's going to be a tough vote for a lot of people. So let's get rolling on the impeachment. We already impeached him. Let's get forward to the trial. Today, in the world of golf, we know we have a lot of golfers in the audience. The Cathedral in the Pines, Augusta National, the Masters starts a little late today because a big storm blowing through. Josh Pettit is head of and founder of the Alistair McKenzie Institute. Josh, why is Alistair McKenzie, why is it important that on the day that we start Augusta National, the Masters tournament, we always have you on to talk about Alistair McKenzie? Why is that?
Well, Dr. McKenzie was sort of the, most people consider the greatest golf course designer that ever lived. And he built many of the best golf courses in the world to this day. He lived between 1870 and 1934. But his last project that he built just before he died was Augusta National, and that's home of the Masters every year, which is a great spring tradition for all of us golfers. And it's important to remember, at least for us in the golfing community, his ideals that he embraced in his methodologies and philosophy of how he designed golf courses were very populist in nature. And his wish and his desire was to actually build golf courses that everybody all across the world could play. And he had hoped that golf courses, the development of golf courses, would spur all around the world and would get very economical to build so that it would be very affordable for all golfers to play. And we haven't really quite gotten there, especially in the States, but his writings are as prescient today as they were 100 years ago. And so this week at Augusta, it's always a great celebration of his sort of his paramount work that he developed in his career.
No, you see all these other courses and then you go and people throughout the world, because it's more than just the golf community. It's more than just a sporting event. It's almost a cultural thing. The TV ratings all over the world, whether it's in Asia, and anytime you can go to Asia and go to Europe, if you want to strike up a conversation, eventually you talk about golf and they always want to go, not really to the Open Championship or the U.S. Open, to national championships of the United Kingdom or really the World Championship or the United States. They all want to talk about the Masters. And a huge part of that is what we call the Cathedral in the Pines. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. Talk to us about the man. You've actually started a foundation to really go into his thinking and his work. Tell us about Dr. McKenzie.
Well, I consider him, as I said, the preeminent golf course architect that's ever lived, and a lot of others do as well. And so, my intention, I've been conducting research on his life and his career now for 17 years, going to 18 years. And it's my intention to help preserve his legacy and to bring a lot of this historical material to light that has been kind of buried in archives for decades now, including a lot of material related to the development of the Augusta golf course. So, I just felt that it was a worthwhile endeavor to help preserve his legacy. And, I'm working on building a museum that will eventually open. And, I think it's very worthwhile for future generations of golfers to learn about his career and his life and his philosophies. Because he was a revolutionary of his day. He was a Renaissance man, and his life story is actually just a very, very fascinating story.
Give us a short synopsis of that, because I know you're a big follower of the show, and you tell me all the time. Because Augusta, it's very different today than when Bobby Jones started the tournament. It's actually, people would say it's super elitist, that it's become very corporatized. There's a lot of wealthy donors. All the billionaires go down there. So it's quite different, I think, than the dream and the vision of Bobby Jones and Dr. McKenzie. Bobby Jones went back to Scotland, went back to St. Andrews. And people realize in St. Andrews, the public can go out and play any time, right? You go on Sundays, I think the course is closed, and it's just a park for the community. It's a very, and this is Bobby Jones was given, I think, the only honorary citizenship, or maybe the only honorary till they gave it to Nicklaus a few years ago, but he's very moved. This was in 1958. So Bobby Jones, although he'd gone to Harvard and was an elite lawyer, was very much a populist, right? And very much a man of the people, as was Dr. McKenzie. But why do you call McKenzie a populist?
That's right. Yeah. Well, just briefly on that. No, you set that up great. Both when they partnered Bobby Jones and Dr. McKenzie to build Augusta, their intent was to pay homage to the old course at St. Andrews. For both of them, it was their favorite golf course, and they thought it was, the ideal golf course. And as you mentioned, it's owned by the community. It's owned by the residents of the town of St. Andrews, and the locals can play for next to nothing. And as you said, on Sundays, the course is closed. It's a public park and people will be out there on the greens having picnics and walking dogs on the fairways. And it's very much what they had envisioned. And so when they built Augusta, they sort of applied the strategic concepts of many of the best holes at St. Andrews and some other links courses to the property in Augusta, Georgia, as a tribute, to pay homage to the old course.
By the way, this is one of the reasons the power of golf when you're over in Scotland is that link back to history 400 or 500 years ago, some of the traditions. And like you said, in St. Andrews, the community owns the course. And it's even not that expensive if you come in. I mean, it's very populist in nature. And like I said, on Sundays, it's just a park for families to go enjoy. This is the greatest golf course in the world. Josh, for people who want to find out more about Dr. McKenzie, and particularly you've got a limited edition book, you've got all kind of information, where do they go? How can they figure out if they want to support you? And how can they find out more about Dr. Alistair McKenzie?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. You can go to alistairmckenzie.org. That's the Alistair McKenzie Institute website. And yeah, the book is called The McKenzie Reader. It's limited edition. There's still some left, but you can purchase it there. And on social media, Instagram is McKenzie Institute. And Twitter X is Dr. McKenzie, spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R McKenzie.
Josh, thank you so much. I'll be talking to you over the weekend as we look at and watch and enjoy the Masters Tournament on Augusta National.
Steve, I got real quick. I got a bone to pick with you over coffee. As a fellow coffee aficionado, sure. I'm here with my Warpath coffee. And I got to tell you, you know, every time you do the pitch for Warpath coffee, you sort of denigrate the medium roasts and you refer to them as mid and mild roasts. And I have to tell you, I used to be a passionate dark roast guy. And over the last couple of years, I've gravitated towards medium roasts because the flavor profile is a little more complex and more interesting. And actually, little known fact, medium roast and light roast actually have more caffeine than dark roasts. So in the morning, they get you more jacked up because the beans are actually baked less. The dark roast, you have to bake the beans more, and so it actually the caffeine evaporates. So, but the Warpath coffee is excellent, I have to say. Those guys do a fantastic job. But just go easy on the medium roast. They're not mild. They're medium. They're delicious.
I want to introduce you to our new spokesman for Warpath Coffee. No, Josh, thank you so much. I couldn't agree more. You're actually correct about the caffeine, too. But it's better as you get more caffeine actually hit in the mild roast. Josh Pettit over at the Alistair McKenzie Institute with his Warpath Coffee. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. We fixed our technical problem with Ben. Ben Burquam joins us. Ben, you're back at work. Tell us, Mayorkas is still, there's no trial of Mayorkas. What are the folks down there defending our border think about that?
Yeah, he should have been gone a long time ago, Steve. I'm down here with where Law and Border really began at La Jolla, Texas PD. These guys are on the front lines in the battle to save America. And from the day Joe Biden took office until today, they have been overrun. They're being overrun every single day. They're getting smugglers every single day. The cartel's making more money. And from the local level, the local elections, all the way up to the presidency, this election is the most important elections of our lifetimes. These guys are getting ramped up for it. They know that, in fact, they're getting word from hearing through the grapevine from the cartels. They're planning on sending a ton more people before the elections in anticipation of Trump winning. So that's what's happening down here. We're going to be riding with them. We're going to be getting more information. Bottom line is Mayorkas should have been gone a long time ago, and it's time for the American people to stop this and turn this country around.
These heroes at the front line, the thin blue line down there, did they believe they've been abandoned by the political class in this country, Republican and Democrat?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You feel it when you're down here. You are in an island. These guys are in a war every single day, and they get no help from Washington, D.C. These guys are on the front lines doing it. Every single officer and every single sergeant and every single lieutenant and the chief that works here are true heroes of America, and they truly have been abandoned, but they aren't abandoning the American people. That's what's so heroic about what's going on down here. These guys, you go across the country, you see sheriffs doing this, but very few police agencies are actually doing the work that these guys are doing, and they're doing it because, first, they love their families. They live here. They have to live in this community, but they love their country. They're absolute heroes.
Ben, if you can just hang through the break, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to try to get to make sure you get your socials. I want to say something. If you notice Joel talking about Gaza, about the war that's going on right now with the Muslim Brotherhood and the people in Israel, if you look at Ben Burquam, two places, I don't know, separated by, what, 8,000-10,000 miles, the same exact situation. It was Donald John Trump, his strength, that gave us peace in both areas. Remember, President Trump did an extraordinary job of sealing our border. President Trump had the back of the good guys in the Middle East, President Donald John Trump. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, we're going to be with Ben tomorrow also. Ben, social media, where do people follow you, sir, between now and then?
At Ben Burquam, I've got a bunch of footage we got from Houston yesterday, one of the hearts of the cartel in America, at Ben Burquam, and then frontlineamerica.com. We have some new articles up, and then, of course, americasvoice.news, working on new episodes of Law & Border. Again, that actually started here, Law & Border, the show on Real America's Voice News, started here in La Jolla, Texas, with La Jolla, Texas PD.
No, and this is all leading to us getting going on fire about they got to start the trial of Mayorkas. Mayorkas has to have a trial. It's a tough vote for Tester and these guys to try to get out of it. So, Ben Burquam, I'm glad you're back down there. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Stay safe. You heard the warning about Trump. They're going to try to flood the zone here before Trump comes back, because Trump was the only one that ever shut down the place and made sure that the people down there were safe. Natalie Dominguez joins us now over at Home Title Lock. Ma'am, this is something that's top of the mind of our folks. Remember, 90% of their net worth in unstable times, 90% of their net worth is still tied up in the home equity. There's $6 trillion of it out there. And people are very worried that, hey, with these interest rates, people are going to start coming and trying to mess with their home title. What do you got for us, ma'am?
Yeah, Steve, that's absolutely right. First of all, thank you so much for having me on again. Since our last couple of stories surrounded the potential damages of title theft and ways to be proactive to fight against it, I wanted to shift gears a little bit and share a story with you about what happens when homeowners go through these kinds of things and actually don't have anyone to tell them what the next steps are and what the aftermath of that can be. So there's a woman in Los Angeles who's lived in her home for over 20 years, and one day she gets something in the mail from the county recorder's office showing her home had been gifted to a man whom she'd never met. So she calls the county recorder's office and says, I did no such thing and wanted it fixed. And they basically told her there's nothing they could do and told her to file a police report. Now, this woman's a little older and she's not in good health, and she uses a walker to get around and could hardly leave the house. So after some time of getting nowhere herself, she ended up hiring an attorney. So during the investigation, they found out that the thief had actually made a fake ID and hired someone to pose as the homeowner at the notary office to stamp the documents. And the notary who'd completed the paperwork actually later had to testify in court that the woman she'd met was not, in fact, the homeowner. And they were able to prove it because she wouldn't have been able to get up the stairs to the notary office due to her health issues. And sadly, by the time the homeowner had hired the attorney, the thief had already refinanced her property, took out a huge amount of money, and basically disappeared with a cashier's check of $100,000 of her equity. And to make matters worse, the lender who'd refinanced the loan for the homeowner, or for the thief, excuse me, sued the victim to get their money back. How does that make sense? And this happened a few years ago, but we were actually able to interview her recently. And when we did, we found out that after 3 years, they were still going through litigation. In order to pay for her attorney's fees, her house was being used as collateral. I mean, this poor woman, imagine being older and living in the same home for 20 years. You're already dealing with health issues and you don't have people in your life to fight for you. And then this happens and it becomes your whole life for the next 3 years. And maybe this hits close to home because I have an older mom with similar health issues to this woman, but just imagining what she went through just breaks my heart. And I think it's absolutely horrendous that people exist in this world that find any chance to take advantage of vulnerable people, especially in these situations.
Oh no, it's terrible. And right now, this whole situation, the squatters, it's unbelievable what's happening. Where do people go right now? I want to send them to the site, bury them in information so they can work through it. Where do they go right now over at Home Title Lock to find out more about this? Immerse themselves.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Steve. So they're going to go to our website, hometitlelock.com, and they can actually use the promo code WARROOM. They can get their first 30 days of protection for free, plus a free title scan so they can check in on their title. And if any of you are, or maybe have, that you want to look out for, you can actually gift a subscription to anyone in your life. The first thing my dad did after getting his own subscription was purchase a 4-year subscription for my grandparents' home because they're 90 years old and live in Florida, where title theft is absolutely rampant right now. And the 4-year subscription allowed him to lock in the price at a lower rate without him having to worry about monthly renewals or price increases. So again, that's HomeTitleLock.com and the promo code WARROOM for 30 days for free. And that does actually apply to whatever subscription you choose.
Natalie Dominguez, thank you so much. Another rock star performance. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, just take the take the burden away from yourselves. Just go there and check it out right now. Immerse yourself in the information. They got all the answers over there. If they don't, you can make contact with them. They'll give you answers. Charlie Kirk's up next. Remember, Charlie's got this fight in Nebraska, the winner take all. Make sure that you're sending the emails. Charlie will walk you through it. Posobiec at 2 o'clock. We're going to be back here at 5 with, you know, we got Dave Brett, a ton of stuff going on, plus all the breaking news from the House as we man the ramparts. Mike Lindell joins us now. Mike, deals. People want to talk about deals. People are already, their heads already blown up about Georgia GOP coming in and supporting you guys with the amicus brief. But talk to us about deals, brother.
Yeah, and by the way, Arizona signed an amicus brief too, everybody. They're jumping on board across the country Wow. for the big Supreme Court case. So this is breaking news, everybody. All the states are jumping on board. We've got and in celebration, it's free shipping week at the War Room for the War Room Posse, exclusive to the War Room Posse. So go to the website. And get all you can. We got the buy one, get one free on the MyPillow 2.0. We've got, there you see on the screen, those sandals we still have for $9.50 and plus the free shipping. Come on, that's the best deal in history. You've got the premium pillows where it all started, $25, king or queen, does not matter, everybody. There you see the two pillows there. I have my hand with God, all things are possible, the American flag. We have over 50 different versions to choose from, two of them for $25 and free shipping. The towels all came in, the bath towels and the kitchen towels, $25 for a 6-pack of towels, $25 for the kitchen towels. There's the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free, the best sleep you're ever going to get in history. And don't forget, you guys, the My Store. I just met yesterday with over 1,000 entrepreneurs. We had a big Zoom call across the country. Use that promo code WARROOM to support them at MyPillow and at MyStore.com. There's my operators, 800-873-1062. Tell them you're calling about the War Room exclusive free shipping. Steve, we owe a debt of gratitude to the War Room Posse. They've helped my employee-owned company and all these entrepreneurs get through these hard economic times, and they're making it through, and it's by the grace of God and with help from the War Room Posse. It's a win-win-win, everybody. You're helping everything here by getting the greatest products ever.
Mike Lindell, we love you. Real America's Voice, Charlie Kirk's up next. Winner take all in Nebraska. We're back at 5 o'clock when you will be in the War Room. See you then. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there, do it today. Check it out.